They say it's always darkest before dawn. And 1 week ago, my day got pretty dark around lunchtime. So I got a message on my phone saying, Sam Doherty injured. So I didn't get to see all what the message was. So I opened it up and there it was. ACL gone for the year. The rest of the day was a blur. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was sitting there eating my lunch. My lunch lost all its flavour. Time just rolled on. It seemed like an eternity before I could get home. Sam Doherty has done an ACL. Out for 12 months. Don't know how he's going to recover from it. Because we always know the knee injuries take a bit of time to get back from. And it also didn't help that the Statesman was digging jibes at me straight off the bat, saying, how good's this trade? It didn't help, Statesman. It did not help. On the weekend, I was sitting there staring at my computer screen, looking at my Ultimate Footy keeper team, going, what the hell do I do now? I just asking myself questions, where to now? How do I get out of this? Do I trade him? Do I keep him? What's the go? But I did know that I will recover from this. Yes, I have a building team, and Sam Doherty in 2019, he will come back, and the pinch of saltiness will win the Ultimate Keeper League footy. Steve, do the intro, mate.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
Welcome to the Morbid Draft Doctors Edition, the Keeper Stock Take Show. We've got a fantastic show for you, but as Jono mentioned in the intro, my God, how could we not pay total attention to the horrific ACL suffered by Sam Doherty and what it's going to mean for keeper leagues and redrafts? And I guess I'll speak to the redraft point of view. And Sam Doherty, as we were speaking about last week on the show, he was a potential top five pick, potentially even the number one overall pick if you wanted to talk positional advantage. Maybe you're in a non-captains league. This, him being taken out of the redraft setting, it's just opened up everything. Like we saw today that Isaac Heaney seems like Fantasy Freako on the Twitters put it out there that he's hinted that he's going to get DPP still. Whether it's forward or defense, we don't quite know. But without these outlier players, to me, it just really makes the first round of your draft quite vanilla. Like, you can basically be assured that the top six or seven picks are going to be mids. Like, I found it horrendous obviously it was pretty bad for Sam Doherty, but it was worse for me. Like, I love the strategy of drafting an outlier player. Like, where do you take them? How do you tier them? What can you say? But, obviously we wish Sam the best in his recovery. I'm sure he's listening, probably a big fan of the show, likes all our tweets. But what do you think from a keeper's point of view, Statesman?
Well, the first thing I'll say, I think it is a little bit more serious for him than yourself, Steve, as much as you like the diversity in the first round, as everyone should love diversity too. But for the keeper league, I've been thinking about this long and hard, and it actually depends how many actually have on the bench. So our keeper league is obviously owned by Jono. We only actually have three on the bench, so I actually use that as the yardstick. What would I do if you had three on the bench? And the end result, when I went through all the options, is you actually have to keep. So he has to be one of your 12 keepers because he is the best defender player. Now, the strategy may change throughout the year. So as soon as a couple of clubs drop off, they might be very interested in picking up Doherty and reloading for the following year and years to come. And of course, again, being the number one defender scorer by a long margin this year, he has some value, there's no doubt, and the age he's at. So therefore, I would suggest for three or more on your bench, then keep Sam and use strategy depending on whether you're rebuilding or someone else is rebuilding, whether you keep for the year or you actually use him to sell to stock up some other area on your ground. So I'll be interested in, with my thought process of what you plan to do, Jono, if you're able to speak.
Well, it's still too It is still pretty raw at the moment, but we are in the off season and we haven't actually made our changes to the list yet, so it's probably just a hold for now, and then as the season progresses, adapt to what's happening throughout the season. But hey, if you got an offer, come at me.
I think
if you only kept six players, so you're a really small keep list, that's probably when you drop him off. But as soon as you go to the double figures, I think that's when you've got to look to retain. The only other option I wouldn't do is if you don't have any bench, so you just actually have your emergencies and you're playing on ground, and then I'd probably move him on anyway because no one else will pick him up throughout the year, and you just be strategic. If you've dropped out of the running, that's when you pick him up mid-season.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. Like, if I was, like you spoke to, Statesman, people's position changes during the season. Like, that happens right now. If you've got him, then you've lost arguably one of the most important players in the game. Look, when we've spoken to the fact that we both think that's an outlier season, the one he's just had. And it's just not sustainable. Like, if you look over especially if you look at the amount of marks people take on a year-to-year basis, people just don't take 9 marks every year unless your name's Nick Riewoldt. I think it's... And there's an opportunity cost involved in keeping or selling. So if you keep him, that's a bench spot that's just being burnt. Like, the same as if you kept Nick Nat last year, the same as if you're keeping Brody Smith. Now, obviously, we're talking about the outlier best defender, so it's obviously worth a hell of a lot more than Brody Smith. But there's still that opportunity cost. Like, when we see it year after year, that forwards and defenders come out of absolutely nowhere. I think if you're going to get a massive offer, like, I don't know who someone's offering, but say they're offering you a 10-point discount.
Lockie Neal?
Is he on the table? I need a midfielder.
Sorry.
People will be offering, and we've seen, we've had people message us about this sort of situation already, and we've seen trades go through where people like Zach Jones are being traded. Well, Jack Jones plugs into your field, but also that team isn't wasting a bench spot holding. Like, and I know if you got Sam Doherty, he's not on your field, so you can take your shots, but unless you're tanking, you're not just taking upside picks. You're going to be more likely to take a floor pick on your field, someone who's not going to ever be a banger 100 player. It's more likely to be an 80 averaging, 78 averaging player, like, say, a Matty Broadbent, perfect example. So there's just an opportunity cost involved in whether you trade him or keep him, quite frankly. But it's just going to be what your league setup is. You know, we see 30 player leagues where you keep 20. We see leagues where you keep one. So it's going to be interesting for each individual situation.
And I think you should only sell him if you're going to increase your chances of winning the premiership that year. Has equal value in the longer term. So a 23-year-old midfielder or a 21-year-old midfielder that's soon to break out but isn't effectively doing it right now, or it is covering a hole for you long term. So if Jono, look at your ruck content right at the moment, Callum Sinclair is your only ruckman in that structure, then if you can grab hold of young Darcy at Fremantle for Sam Doherty, it might be worthwhile.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure people will be coming at me left, right and centre throughout the year with some amazing trades and not so amazing trades. So just got to wade through them and see what's best for a pinch of saltiness.
And also what matters is the game style. Like, if you're in a super coach league, that's a hell of a lot different to being in a dream team league with Sam Doherty. We see the key defenders can absolutely pop in your super coach leagues and just sort of come out of nowhere. So I'd really take that into consideration as well.
Well, is Aaron Mullett still under that 65% threshold? Because I'll be snapping him up.
This is the thing. Like, if you want a share of that back line, say you've got Sam Doherty, just go pick him up. Like, I mean, I know he's going to average more than 115 this season, Aaron Mullett, because he's obviously a better player than Sam Doherty. But just, no, it's a free way to keep a player who's going to average pretty well. Just draft him in whatever round it is. You don't have to keep him. You know it's a replacement thing. But if you got Sam Doherty, you know, I'll be honest, your season's probably in a pretty tough spot. I'd consider grabbing a Brody Smith and some young players and seeing what could shake down.
And that's where my team's sort of at. It's in that building phase.
No, your team is in the toilet.
Jack Watts are going to carry me to the promised land. Don't you worry about that. Rebuilding.
Would you like to do a trade live now, Jono? Obviously, we can't transact until the beginning of the year.
What's the offer there, Staceman?
Matthew Cruiser.
Yeah. And?
No, not and. Matthew Cruiser for Sam Doherty.
No, thanks. I'll keep my 20-something, young 20-something defender for a bloke who's unreliable and pushing 30, I think he is.
See, this is... Statesman doesn't know what goes on behind the scenes when I'm editing the podcast and uploading it. What I actually have to do is give it a genre. And I always click sports, but now I don't know whether to click comedy or horror. Like, this is...
Sports or sports comedy. We just get in that bracket of sports comedy.
It's terrible.
But moving on to the show today, we've got...
Oh, there's a show!
There is a show, listeners. There is a show. It's not all about Sam Doherty and my woes. We do have a show. It's our keeper stock take, where we've taken Steve's buy-sell hold from his dozen deal styles, and we're just going to run through a few players from our teams that we've had over the year and whether we're going to buy, hold, or sell those players. And to kick us off, Steve, who have you got your first one, mate?
Well, I've got a sell candidate for the first one, gentlemen. And the simple facts are, in a keeper league, people are always chasing mids. The big scoring players, as we've spoken about, you find your forwards and you find your defenders year in and year out. To me, one of the best sell candidates out there is Mark Murphy from Carlton. Average of 111 Dream Team, 108 Supercoach. Fantastic season, played all 22 games. He was, by average, the 14th best player in Supercoach, if you take Jacob Townsend out. And the 12th best Dream Team player. So he is at peak value right now. And the best part is no one's mentioned his name all off season, despite the fact that two of Carlton's best players won't be playing for the Blues next year, from 2017. So theoretically, Carlton are a lot worse. And let's be honest, if you're in a worse team, you shouldn't go as well. And Murphy is always a perennial tag target, although he did avoid it in 2017. The thing, and this is maybe me and my perception of Mark Murphy, but the thing about Mark Murphy is it looks like he's never used a razor on his baby face all his life. Like, he looks young, but he turns 31 next season.
So really?
And that was my reaction too, Jono, because my perception is that he'd still be, like, he'd be late 20s. But that he'd still be under 30. But he's just not going to be. Now, 2017 was the first time since 2009 he's played all 22 games. And that's probably something to do with the fact that he did preseason for the first time in a long time as well. But he's had an outlier games total played. He's had an outlier average. That's only the second time he's averaged over 102 in Dream Team. He has been a lot better Supercoach player over the years. He's a fantastic player. I'm not saying he's a bad player when I say he's a sell, but it just feels like a fantastic time to cash in on a player who's on the wrong side of 30, who's at peak value, who hasn't been spoken about, and in as a team that, I've got to be honest, I don't see how Carlton have a great season with Gibbs out, with Doherty out. Like, the midfield is quite barren. Can he repeat his 2017 scoring in 2018? He can. Of course he can. He's a fantastic player. But I suspect a bit of a regression. And the big question you've got to ask yourself is, how much longer can it actually last?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I'm never been hot on Mark Murphy, to be quite honest with you. But I was regretting it in all formats that I wasn't hot on him this year. So therefore, you put the data in front of you for 2017. And he looks very sexy. If you're missing one person from having a quality midfield, then he's someone that you should be interested in buying. So I can certainly understand that. So in a keeper, he probably has a little bit less value. But the reality in the one season competitions, he should be still probably even in the second round. So therefore, people are always going to have that as a value. And therefore, I agree with your philosophy. He's going to grab enough interest that you're going to get quality returns for selling Mark Murphy.
Yeah, absolutely. He's never been... He's always had that vanilla name to him, a la Bryce Gibbs. And I totally agree what you're saying there, Steve. I've got one of my sell candidates. He's a similar vein to yours, which I'll get to a little bit later on. He's had that outlier year. He's got the value. People are going to want to buy him. And you just got to get the right trade for it in return.
Yeah, no, I think it's one I'd do. Maybe if I was in the premiership window, I'd consider hanging on for another season, because it looks like he might age well. He doesn't have a history of soft tissue injuries. Like, he tends to have, like, he tends to get a bit beat up. Broken, was it broken arm or leg?
Collarbone, was it?
2 years ago, yeah. I think it was ankle. He had something with his ankle, because I'm pretty sure I damn well had him. The jerk.
That's right, you did too.
But anyway, I think he's a good sell candidate.
Yeah, so my first one is going to be a buy option, gentlemen. And I tried with these to try and be a little bit left field. I had a buy and I also had a keep, but they actually could have been both. So my buy is Jack Redden. And he most certainly is going to be one of the winners of both Prittis and Mitchell retiring, because he is an inside mid. He's shown to be a quality scorer, was a very big scorer in his early part of his career with Brisbane. But to be fair, he's had limited opportunity whilst being third in line for the inside midfielder role. But with the departures from their best 22 of Butler, Hill, Mitchell, Prittis and Wellingham, that means that Shuey, Sheed and Redden will lead the midfield for the next couple of years. So when we're talking keeper, this man has got some value for quite a few years yet to come. Only averaged 83 in 2017. So therefore, when you add that on top of 2016, his average was in the 60s, a man that hasn't had great opportunity. He's not considered a sexy pick. So therefore, you should buy him pretty cheap. And I do believe he will gain about 20 points per game in AFL fantasy scoring from this year's average. So I see that he's probably going to return to the 100-point scorer midfielder, because he'll play predominantly that inside midfield role. And when he did get that role this year, that's exactly what he did. He averaged the ton. Top quality player. There's no thrills. He's not breaking the lines. He's just doing that task and that job that Prittis and Mitchell last year were actually doing for the West Coast Eagles. So this is probably why they traded for him, knowing that a couple of those senior midfielders were on the end of their career and they had one ready to go. Some young kids will get some opportunities through that midfield, no doubt, but their mainstayers will be Shuey, Sheed and Redden.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. And one thing you haven't spoken about, they're about to get one of the best ruckmen in the competition back. Like, that can only be good. Like, I'm absolutely on board. I think, we'll probably speak about Jack Redden a fair bit in the ranking season as being someone who's quite higher up on our boards, but as compared to last year's average. No, I'm absolutely all about it, all about that value. And he's not as old as you think.
No, absolutely. I think he's only 25, turning 26.
Oh, love it.
Yeah, exactly right. When you mention Jack Redden, I always have that feeling he's 28, 29, but he is actually that 26. With the addition of Nick Nat, what do you think his average would be? Do you see in that 100 to 105? Or?
Yeah, that's exactly the range. So had 83 this year, I'm expecting a 20-point rise. And that's based on some evidence that when he did get that opportunity, because Prittis missed a few games later in the year, when he did get that opportunity, that's the type of scoring he was looking at when he was getting the midfield time. So I don't expect him to play that high half forward role that he did last year, and that's because the boys were in the guts and someone needs to be there, and it'll be him.
And just out of if you are going to the redraft in your keepers, do you see him going early or in your middle to later rounds?
No, still be a bargain. The only way I see that changing is if he is really blowing apart the JLT series. But remember, that series is in a condensed model this year, so I don't think we can be able to take as much data. That might be good for some and bad for others, but we won't have as much data to work with. So I'm thinking, because of the average of 83, most of the models come up with a pre-designed average listing, he's going to be quite down the pecking order. So I think he'd be able to escape until rounds 9, 10, or even 11 and pick up a real bargain.
Yeah, and it is November and everyone's on the training track and absolutely burning it up at the moment. So get on board, Jack Redham.
And he won't be the sexy midfielder that is going to be on the rise. We're going to be talking a lot about training with the midfield. So your Heaney, your Parrish, those type of young players, your Devin Smiths, they're the ones that are probably going to get the buzz about them for midfield time. Jack Redden will just sit in the quiet, and I think even West Coast will pump up the young kids.
Yeah, there's been a lot of mentions of Dom Sheed on the social media, and Jack Redden's just that no-frills midfielder to get the job done, a la Bryce Gibbs a couple of years ago where no one wanted him, but he's still pumping out 105 average.
Absolutely.
My first guy is a hold, and that's Toby McLean from the Western Bulldogs. Average 85 in both the formats this year. He's 22 years of age, and he's actually played predominantly midfield in 2017 with the injuries of Lin Jong and Josh Dunkley. He had a great ceiling in about 7 games. He averaged well over the 100 in both formats. His tackling pressure is phenomenal, which the Doggies probably missed a little bit in 2017 after their premiership hangover. He could still retain that forward status, which he was this year. This is all that it's based on. If he retains that forward status and playing pure mid, you look to him to go to a 90-plus averaging forward. And with the uncertainties of the forwards this year, that is absolute prime gold this year in any format. The only question I do have is the craziness of Luke Beveridge, and does he play him as that rolling half-forward, defensive forward, that just really kills our fantasy scores. So just going to wait and see for the JLT and see what crazy Luke Beveridge does.
Yeah, I love it, Jono, and I agree with everything you've said. I had Toby McLean in our League of Record last year, and he's a fantastic player. They really loved him. They sent Luke Dalhouse out of the midfield back up to the forward line, killed Dalhouse's scoring. And what you mentioned is the pressure acts. His pressure acts are off the chart. And that's just fantastic for the scoring. I'm in agreement that he should be in the midfield. And I like what you said. I sort of heard you start talking. I'm like, well, why didn't you list him as a buy? Well, you shouldn't pay for a crazy Luke Beveridge player. And that makes total sense. If you're holding him, that's fine. Like, you're not paying anything to extract the player from another team. I love that. I think it's great analysis. I'm all about it. They love Toby McLean. You can see it from the outside. They are invested in him.
If you look at my notes next to Toby McLean's name, I've got buy scrubbed out a couple of times, hold, sell. I honestly didn't know which way to go until I settled on that hold.
To be fair, he's only one option. He's a hold, because he's not a sexy name by any stretch of the imagination. There is a few question marks about the club and their roles for players, and that they change quite regularly. And also, we just don't know what type of form that club's going to be in. So there's a few question marks sitting around that, and he's not sexy name. So therefore, you can't sell him. There's an argument that he might be a buy, but certainly if you got him, he's an asset. He's not a sellable asset, but he's an asset, so you hold him. I think that was well described, and I think he should be one of those players that sneaks up the rankings in regards to in the amount of leagues that actually own him. And I think you'll find that changed dramatically this year, and I think it'll peak where he'll probably be 99% drafted in whatever formats of drafts. I think that'll change dramatically this year.
Yeah, he was up around the 80% mark while doing the research, so I totally agree that he'll certainly go up the ownership.
Goddamn Luke Bevers.
Beautiful.
What can you say? He's got the best hair in the coaches' league, but just every player's a mid-forward. I mean, with Stringer out of their forward line, who the hell knows what the setup looks like?
And you got Hayden Crozier and Trengove coming in as well. Like,
what is going on? Let's just throw a dart, and whatever your dart lands on, that's your role for the day.
Well, that's John, Luke Beveridge's board. Ruckman. He's got mid forward ruck. That's it. No defenders. That's it. He just throws darts. That's where you're playing this week. Who's your next player, Steve?
Okay, well, you want to talk under the radar, baby. This player is under the radar. And we know there's a lot of keeper leagues who play the Supercoach format, so this is a real Supercoach specialty. And I'm going to give you boys a little bit of Q&A and see if you can come up with a name, and I'll bet you'd be shocked at who I've got. But of the top 100 total intercept possession players, only four players average more than this player's 8.1 intercept possessions per game.
What team does he play for?
Easton Wood.
Wait, what?
Easton Wood.
Not fantasy relevant.
Can't be. He's not in your clubs.
Not in my clubs. Think vertical stripes, no. My boys.
Collingwood player.
Well, I got North as well.
Or North.
Now it's Tommy Langdon. Okay. Oh. Tommy Langdon missed over a year of football, came back to play the last 11 games with averages of 73 Dream Team and 82 Supercoach. We know he's been a pretty handy Supercoach before. As I spoke about, he is certainly one more for that format. But I think he's a real cheapie who's got his 4 years of development in him. He's out of the way in his second season. Absolute banger. Played all 22 and averaged 79 Dream Team, 85 Supercoach. So I think there's a fair bit of upside. At the very least, he's attainable. And I think he's a dependable D3. If you are trading down one of your absolutes, like I mentioned Mark Murphy, if you're going after a guy like Tom Langdon, you'd get him and something else pretty good. Probably my third player. I think you'd probably get them both in a deal. Like, it's just a complete value pick. Once he gets his fitness back, I think he can improve. Over the last six rounds, he averaged 90 Supercoach and 78 Dream Team. He's a good player, man. You need guys like this. If you're going to keep a guy like Brody Smith, I think you're better off keeping a guy like Tom Langdon. Like, I just think he's a solid player. Like, the intercept possessions, we see, if you listen to the Drill podcast, that's the way the scoring's getting weighted. Like, that's what coaches are valuing, because teams score more off intercepts than they do stoppages. Stoppages, and look at the Hawthorn model. Stoppages are kind of out the door. They were playing two loose men in defence. It's all about the intercepts. That's where teams launch attacks from. So Tom Langdon, that's his bread and butter. I'm all about it.
Well, you should be with and your raging defence.
Yes, that's very true.
You know what? You boys have totally misread my defence, because guess who's going to be a defender next year? Jack Gunston, baby.
Have you got Jack Gunston?
Yeah.
Oh, well. He's still an old, slow defence.
Getting back to Langdon, with Oxley, Ramsey and Sinclair all off Collingwood's list.
And Keefe.
There's just less fighting for that position that he held as well. So I think that shows they've got a probably pretty happy with where he sits in the team. We know that they recruited Sam Murray from Sydney Swans as a rebounding half back, but when you're moving three that played the position and only bringing one in, I think they're pretty happy with where their defence is going to sit, especially the running and intercept defenders.
And I don't know how it's really going to work when Scott Pendlebury goes down there and takes all the intercepts and takes all his scores. I mean,
but their whole defence is innocent. Like, you've got Jeremy Howe, Schoenberg, and Langdon. Like, their defence
is... Darcy Moore now.
Well, Darcy Moore's going to be the lockdown defender. That's what I think he's going to be doing. Like,
the ghost goes forward, does he?
The ghost is forward. The ghost is dead. The ghost has died again. I don't know how he's... What's more than a ghost? A ghosty ghost?
Evaporative? I don't know.
Who knows? We'll find out,
I have no idea. No, but Tom Langdon is a very unsexy pick. I did have him in our league of record a couple of years ago. Was doing quite well, especially in the Supercoach format until he broke down. But you'd think those injuries are behind him now that he's grown into his body and used to the rigours of AFL footy.
You'd hope so.
All right, gentlemen, my second player is a sell, and this is a player for Jono's keeper team, but I will be honest, I think Matthew Cruiser is a much better pickup for him. Available anytime you want to snap him up, Jono. And my sell player is Steph Martin, likely to be a top five ruckman, and therefore has value, especially to those that have weakness in that area, hence your very team, Jono. He was the third highest averaging ruck in 2017, and we all know him to be part of that big four, although the big four seem to be quite weak this year through certainly different circumstances. The point and the reason why he's a sell, because he could also be a flop, because if the Lions have a change of heart and decide to go the rebuild and development mid-season, if that's the way the results go, he will be off the list or not getting games. So therefore, his highest value is actually at the point of pre-season when he's in good form, good scoring, and still thought of as one of the top four. He actually could be a premiership player for someone that recruits him and could be a keeper for a couple of years, because I don't see their future long-term ruckman on their list right now. Or he could be retired by the end of the season. So he's definitely a sell for me, while that value is pretty high. Obviously, you need the right target market in a keeper, and it's certainly those aiming for a premiership win who haven't got great stocks in their ruck.
Yeah, I'm all about not drafting Steph Martin in any format next year, unless you are in that premiership window, which obviously my team is not, but that fear of Fagan up there, we've seen it. We saw it in 2017 with him playing the two ruck system coming from the Hawthorn system. The scoring output wasn't there. They are looking to Archie Smith to get more game time into him, you would think. And Steph Martin could go the way of Ivan Marek and just be used as the backup ruckman.
I think what actually happened this year, and it's easy to say that in hindsight, I actually think they were just giving Steph Martin a rest, so actually giving him a break. So before the end of the season, Archie Smith got dropped again and off Steph Martin went and had a good run at the end of the season. So I actually think it was just managing his game time and his body more than anything else.
Yeah, it could be a possibility. Your thoughts, Steve?
If I was in a... I agree. Look, he's a sell. Anytime you can sell a ruckman, you should damn well do it, probably with the exception of Brody Grundy. Now, I will say this. Well, what's... Well, you should. You shouldn't you?
Hey, Big Cox, yeah, okay. Big Cox is coming in to take his scoring output next year.
Well, if you think he's a sell because of Mason Cox, then we'll discuss this later. But I think... No, I agree with the principle. And if you were talking about selling a ruckman, I could have had all three players a sell and they should all be a ruck. Like, I could have talked about Cruiser. I could have talked about whoever. But the simple fact is that I actually think Steph Martin's actually a good acquisition in Supercoach. Now, I'm not saying I'm going out and buying him, but I think he's a good target in a redraft league. What's just happened to Brisbane? They've lost a guy who's taken 20% of their clearances. Steph Martin is a clearance player. That is valuable in Supercoach. Please do not ignore that. The guy can deadlift a small island. He's not running out of steam. I'm a big fan. Yes, there's highs. Yes, there's lows. But look, the value we place on ruckman on the show is quite low. So yes, please sell any ruckman you have in a keeper league. But be mindful of where Steph Martin comes up in a redraft, in Supercoach especially, is all I'm saying.
And I will note, Brisbane cleared out a quarter of their list this year. So 12 players left that club. That's a huge amount. So therefore, bringing only two players in, which is Charlie Cameron and Luke Hodge, is the reason why they brought Luke Hodge in, is they want the leadership, they want the experience. So the experienced players, which is your Beams, Zorko, Martin will be playing. They will be playing because they actually need that leadership.
Don't forget Mitch Robinson coming back into the team as well.
But all around those players will be kids.
What I'm saying is Steph Martin has a better clearance rate than Dame Beams. Yep. Like, that's a fact. And so their midfield's going to look like Zorko, Beams, Robinson, Matheson, probably Keys. I wouldn't be blown away if Hodge got in there at times.
Yep, agreed.
Absolutely.
So I think on a short pickup, he could actually be quite good, but that's why I think he's a sell. He's actually got some value in a keeper. Utilise him while he's got some value.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're in a savvy keeper league, you might be able to buy him cheap because he's old.
Yep.
I absolutely agree with you, Statesman, but maybe you could swing it the other way where you're like, hey, he's old, he's useless, get rid of him. Blah, blah, blah.
Archie Smith's coming in, da, 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 yeah.
Absolutely. You know, you can put the pitch out there.
My buy target is actually Luke Dunstan from St Kilda, a midfielder, 22 years of age. He averaged 88 in both formats. So when you're looking at the averages, you think, it's not that great. But look to his last five games, in both Dream Team and Supercoach, that average went up to 109. So pretty good output there where he was playing pure mid as that inside midfielder. The ceiling was great. He's entering his fifth year. Look, you can probably pick him up for a reasonable price because he's not a superstar name that's up and coming in any format. So look, 88 this year. Push it up to that mid-90s this year, maybe touch under the 100 a la Jared Lyons before he gets injured. He's going to add some great depth to your midfield.
Do you want him for Sam Doherty? Sorry.
To own Luke Dunstan?
Yes, I certainly do.
You should trade Dunstan Cruiser. That's a trade.
no, thank you.
I like that trade. No, deal.
That's a trade, though.
I will say that I would have been fearful if St Kilda picked up the dynamic midfielder that they were after, whether it be Josh Kelly or the Dustin Martin. But seeing that hasn't happened, I think there's a couple of winners there. The Man of Steel will be one and Luke Dunstan will be the other because they showed a fair bit this year and Lukey Dunstan's second half of the season was absolutely magnificent. If we all remember, he was a very high draft pick, number 7, if I remember correctly. And I think he's starting to finally show the quality he actually has.
And in those last five games where he did get those big averages, Jack Stephen was kicked out of the midfield and roaming around as a half forward. So he wasn't actually taking the centre bounces either. And it was all Luke Dunstan, Seb Ross, Jack Steele. So,
wow.
So they're putting the time into him to become that primo inside mid by the look of it.
And it's the first time he's really got the opportunity. I know Steve wasn't a huge fan of him when we're talking pre-season, but I like backing in the players that had the pedigree. Yes, a lot of top 10 draft picks don't work out to be anywhere near as good as what people first thought, but if they've actually got the pedigree and it's just more opportunities they're not getting, then I generally try to back him in.
Yeah, but I said he turned me around. I'll be honest, Tasman. I was... impressed. Like, what can you say? All you can go is off the evidence, and he was fantastic, and you got to like that. They're not going to be putting games into David Armitage when a bloke's dominating out of the middle like that. So I don't mind the pick, to be honest, Jono, because there's no brand value there with Luke Dunstan. You are picking him up very low, and he's done his apprenticeship. He's ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Dunstan and Cruiser for Doherty there, Statesman?
No.
No?
You need to throw something else
in. Throw another kicker in, will you?
You need to at least give me one person that's going to play next year.
Oh, I've got Eddie Betts.
Boom.
No.
Boom. Actually, I looked at your team, Jono. If that was in Supercoach, your team would be all right.
But we're not playing Supercoach.
We're not.
What about old Justin Westhoff? Will that get the deal done?
No.
But if you are liking the show, we are on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. We do have a lot of new listeners right now, so if you've got a couple of minutes, go onto iTunes, hit the five-star rating button there, and if you go and leave us a review. It really helps our brand. We've got a lot of exciting things coming up for 2018, so do stay tuned for that. Hit the subscribe button. The shows come to you each and every week, straight to your devices, and we really appreciate it.
John, I got to say, like, man, if you can leave us a review and get a screen cap of that, do it, because I'll be honest, there are some seriously exciting things coming up. Like, Jono, we had a meeting on the weekend with our developer.
Exciting times. I can't wait till we launch this.
I gotta be honest, if you play the draft format and if you're listening to this show, you should be, obviously you do. We've got possibly the coolest thing that's happened to a draft league.
Since we started the podcast, it's going to revolutionize draft fantasy, basically.
Well, the way you approach your draft, it will change completely.
Please,
if you do leave us a review, and I urge you to, whether you're on Stitcher, whether you're on Pod Paradise, whether you're on iTunes, do it. Screen cap it and let us know, and we will remember. Like, we have a great rapport with our people.
Fans on, I've got a send great, it on the social media. Screen cap it, send to our social media at the Draft Doctors, at Statesman 33 on Twitter. But screen cap it to the Facebook page.
But Jono, you would agree with the people who have been with us a long time. We remember them. We love them.
We have great banter on the social media with them.
You know, we do.
And I'm the only one. And I'm the only one that's grumpy. So we're only 33% grumpier.
It's amazing you put up with us and we're over 30, Statesman.
but please do it, and we will remember it. And there are some very, very cool things happening over December and the first week of January. Very
absolutely
cool.
Who's your last player there, Steve?
Well, it's a play. You know what? We with these shows, we try to diversify and pick players that we haven't spoken about before. But I'm going to rehash a player I spoke about in the, I think it was the Black Bookers show, and that's Dion Prestia, and he is absolutely a buy candidate. And I really wanted to just hammer it home because he's so under his value, 82 average, just. My God, down from his usual mid-90s. His best year in fantasy football is 100 Dream Team and 106 Supercoach. The last six matches of the year went at 105 Dream Team and 110 Supercoach. That's off no preseason. That's off his knee niggles. So he's...
Tagging.
Hey?
And tagging. He was tagging at stage.
Well, he had
too.
A defensive role, but this is what this player can do. His average is coming into the low 80s. So he's less than Jack Redden right now. Okay? Now, obviously, he's had some injury troubles in the past, but he appears over them. He turns 25 during the 2018 season. So you've got 5 years with Dion Prestia.
Human
right?
meatball looks like about 32, only 25. It's great.
He's got the Nonna genes in him. He's got the carb loading. He's going to go for ages. I think it's one of the best buy candidates you can get going. Like, I'm all about jumping on in a redraft. Holy God, like, he should be value. We'll find out, though, pretty quickly what his ADP looks like. Nudge, nudge. I'm just all about Dion Prestia. I think it's just a huge, huge potential. I'm all about it. Like, I couldn't imagine anyone disputing it. But you're just going to get a frustrated owner because those finals matches didn't count towards his average.
Yeah,
did not.
Yeah, there obviously is that injury risk, but there's plenty of quality players that have got that, and my next one's got a bit of an injury history as well. But yeah, I think his body's finally right. Took a bit of time throughout the year, but I think you're spot on, and his end of season form was just fantastic, and I think he'll continue on.
Well, he got out of the Gold Coast where they spend every Friday and Saturday night down at Chasers there, so you can't rehab when you're down at the pub every Saturday night, so into a good team, wins a flag in his first year, and suck crap Adam Treloar.
Well, I found it really... I'm doing my building my rankings at the moment. I found it really hard to rank Adam Treloar.
He's moving up and down the board a fair bit for me at the moment.
I think I got him at like 21 at the moment.
I think he's a much better AFL fantasy player than he is Supercoach.
Oh, sorry, I should say we're building our Supercoach rankings before we're building our AFL fantasy rankings. And yes, you are right, he's better for fantasy than... Although he's had the last... before this season, his 3 years as Supercoach were 111, 106, 107. So he's a quality player. Like,
so what dropped away? Not having a forward target?
Nah, yeah, his clangers went through the roof.
And kicking efficiency as well.
Well, clangers.
As well, which affects clangers, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
But maybe that's the team's fault, not his. Not having someone to kick to. So under pressure coming out of the midfield, you've got no one there and no one taking contested marks.
Well, I think he had less contested possessions as well, which affects your super coach.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
Yeah, he was outside. He was more outside than in.
Because Taylor Adams was coaching him as well.
Yes.
Well, what do you do? Do you put Taylor Adams on the outside or Adam Treloar?
Adam Treloar.
Every opposition player gets a mark.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Daniel
Wells will be right next year. We'll be back.
Forward status for Daniel Wells.
Hey, he's got forward status coming his way, baby. Don't worry about that.
I'll hold you to that one. Or we can just use it for the You Suck show.
Oh, that is a nightmare cutting that up. Can I explain to people? Like,
sure.
Me and Statesman, we actually go out on a limb and the balls are on the line. You know, I know this is a clean show, but our balls are on the line. We make some hot takes. We're wrong. We're right. Oh, Jono, Captain Fence Sitter over here. I can't even get a clip because nothing's... it's like if he's going to choose a burn, man, it's the most obvious burn vanilla. It's like, yeah, I reckon Cam Ellis Yolman's going to let you down this year.
Yeah.
You got delisted, so of course he's let you down already.
I reckon Danger's going to have a corker. He should be at the top of your board. That's what we're dealing with, and I'm struggling to even get a clip out of him.
Although, I think you should pull the clips of every time we called him out for doing that. That should be his You Suck.
Be a long show.
It will be.
If you got 6 hours, if you know, on the drive to Canberra or something like that, just put it on and just listen to my voice the whole time. I'm sure that would be a peachy car ride.
Every time Jono struggles to back up his opinion with fact and just goes, it's the gut feel.
That's a drinking game. Yeah, the draft doctor's drinking game.
Get your $5 cab Merlot and off you go.
Boom. Come on, Stacey, get us back on track.
Okay, so my last keep is a rehash player, and yes, he's got some injury concerns, but he's a keep because I just felt that his buying value is probably not there because he is so highly rated, and that is going back a few years, but he is one of those names, and it's the great lunch meat himself, Devin Smith, gentlemen.
He's from my... Oh, no, he's not from my teams anymore. God damn it. No, I got hoodwinked.
This is the Essendon player. Because we all know his ability. At GWS, it was simply there was too many quality midfielders for him to get good time in the guts. And that's what was hurting his scoring. When the younger days, where he was actually getting that run as the midfield half forward, he was actually averaging in the 90s. Then he pushed up and ended up being almost a forward pocket. So he just never got enough of the footy. So I see his new role being 40% mid, and I believe Essendon were quite strategic. They got Saad for the defence, they got Stringer for the forward, and they got Devin Smith for the midfield. So I see 40% midfield, 40% forward, which is going to be that sort of half-forward role, and 20% bench. That'll be his rotation. So therefore, he should keep his forward status while still scoring in the mid to high 90s. So this will mean he'll be in the top 5 scoring forwards next year. So if you have him, you keep. I think it's a little bit hard to buy because other people are going to see the value and you'll end up trying or having to pay too much for him. And I don't, I would think that you're foolish to sell him when he's just about to give you his boom year, his massive breakout year. Yes, we acknowledge that he's had some troubles, but he would have been cleared medically prior to being traded. And I'm pretty sure that he'll take his second club opportunity really, really seriously and take his rehab and management a lot more seriously and take this opportunity and be one of the best forwards in 2018. Lunch meat over Motlop is still the go.
And as we know, Essendon have the best doctors and supplements program going around.
Well, did you know that Motlop did have more total points than lunch meat last year? Now, I just want to cut him off so he couldn't rebut. look, I love... look, look, people, the people who are listening to this who are new to the show, Dozen Deals is an article I write every week during the season. You get 12 players. It's a buy, sell, hold, add, drop. And I got to be honest, the boys, I don't like... I sort of came into this show thinking we weren't going to be talking many holds. And Jono's thrown a little hold at us, and Statesman's thrown a little hold at us. And I got to be honest, I think they've absolutely nailed the concept. Because with Devin Smith, he's not a buy because you're paying overs if you're buying Devin Smith right now. And just a little hint, when we come to the You Suck show, there was someone who poo-pooed Devin Smith's injury risks. Devin Smith...
Jono, that was disgraceful. By
yeah,
you.
Jono.
Sorry, fans.
How could you do that? But anyway,
I've just poo-pooed it again, and you should never ignore a poo-poo.
as a father of a small human, you should not. But you do now. What the hell was I talking about? Look, I think I don't want to pay overs for a guy who can miss four games. And if we're being honest, I think Devin Smith should stay forward most of his career. But he's one of those players who might drop in every other year as being a pure mid. Obviously, we're going to look at the development of Andrew McGrath and Darcy Parrish and Zach Merritt and Dyson. They've got some players in there. And Devin Smith has scored particularly well in a really fantasy-unfriendly role. It's probably the most unfantasy-friendly role outside of your key position players. So I do think he's absolutely a hold, but I wouldn't be paying overs. And that's part of the point of the column is to understand, like, yes, I might want to buy Devin Smith, but what are you actually giving up to get him? And it sort of comes back to what we were talking about at the start of the show with Sam Docherty and opportunity cost. If Devin Smith doesn't deliver and he gets pushed out into that unsexy scoring role, which is a possibility, if we're being quite frank, it really is, then you're not going to see that upside that we're all kind of hoping for, because at the moment, that's what it is. And if there's one thing I've learnt about fantasy football, it is we are not as smart as we think we are. Like, the club can have very different opinions to what we have.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, we might all look at Collingwood and say, why the hell are they throwing Darcy Moore into defence, as all the reports are? But you know, they know what they want to do more than we do, but it is stupid.
Absolutely, and they're not gonna share those hidden secrets with us either.
No.
So we can only ever guess.
That's right,
and that's what makes it so fun, just speculating and trying to predict.
Some
a bit
of us
further.
Speculate.
Well, you know everything.
Some of us speculate.
Isn't that what fantasy
on?
Football's all about? Speculation. It's like playing the stock
market.
No, but
My point is, I don't think you speculate enough, buddy. You've got to put them on the line more.
No, you've got to put them on...
Conservative speculator.
You've got to put them on the line, but there has to be a process. It's got to be like the Philadelphia 76ers. You've got to trust the process. If you have good reason, yes, the results might not go your way, but if you have good reason and sound...
Management.
I don't know, I'm trailing off here, but you know what I'm saying. If you have a solid logic and you look at the research behind certain things, you back it up, and if it goes wrong, hey, it goes wrong. Jesus.
Now, I do need to make this point because we cop a little bit in Tassie. We do have cooler winters. But right now, both Steve and I are bathing in natural light. As the show's been progressing, his room has gone extremely dark, while I still, in this beautiful part of the evening, are bright and fancy-free with beautiful natural light. This is daylight savings in its best in Tasmania. Sunlight until 9 p.m. What a beautiful time of year.
Because it's only 24 degrees here, where it's 34 degrees here in Melbourne. So a bit different. We've got to have the shades down, keep the house cool and the aircon on. Do you even own aircon in Tasmania?
There's not one in this house, no.
But maybe at one of the other chateaus, you've got one floating around somewhere.
Correct. Correct.
Have you ever met me, Statesman? Because if you had, you would know that my disposition requires that I never actually see natural sunlight and maintain the maintain the rage.
But moving on to my last player, which is my sell, and that's Nathan Jones from the Demons.
I knew you'd say Nathan Jones after your bullshit.
Really?
Before. Yeah, because the old player had an outlier year, and you had him in your team.
Okay.
You had him in your team. That's the problem.
Yes, yeah. Yes it is. But he's a great sell candidate. He's only turning 30 next year, even though he looks like he's been 30 since he got recruited. But he actually had an outlier year and his best career years in 2017 with an average of 104 in Dream Team and 100 in Supercoach. That was actually his second best. So he's got the trade value up, similar to your Mark Murphy. He doesn't miss games. In this year, he missed a few games with that hamstring injury. But before that, he's missed 5 games since his debut year in 2007, I think it was. So very durable. He's got the fantasy currency. He's a name brand. And since Clayton Oliver's come into that team, he's not the main target in that midfield where they're going to apply the pressure to him. So, sorry, mate.
No, you finish what you're saying and then I'll go.
So, yeah, the Taggers aren't going to get there. His body's not going to get as bruised as it used to be. So the fantasy output's still going to be there. He's always been around that 100 average, so great depth player if you're looking to have a tilt at that premiership, where his ceiling is still pretty good. He can still pump you out those 130s and even 140s in your super coach. So if you're looking to win the premiership next year, maybe talk to a Nathan Jones owner.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree. I think you're right. I think he's a great sell candidate, but I'm going to make one point that I don't think he's... What are you doing? You doing something to your mic?
Not touching anything. That's Statesman breathing into his microphone.
Yeah, I heard something that was pretty horrendous. I don't think he's a brand value. And
don't think so?
Nah, and I'll say why. When have you ever had Nathan Jones in your salary cap team? The answer
I don't think I ever have.
The answer's never. And the reason is because he's a vanilla player. Like, he's a very good player, and he's a very good player who's played in really bad teams, but he's not a great fantasy player. He has had an outlier year. I think if you can sell him for anything close to what he got this year in terms of cashing in, I'd absolutely do it. I think you're going to struggle, though. Like, he's not... And Melbourne's not a high-profile club. Like, I don't know. He's a fantastic player, though. I will give him that.
Your thoughts, Statesman?
Yeah, I just had a look at him to see if I'd put him as part of the Cruiser Doherty deal, but the answer's no. I think what Steve's point is so correct. He's so non-sexy, and having that outlier, you may have someone interested in buying him, and if they just need that little piece of the jigsaw puzzle, but at 30 years of age next year, it's an interesting player with so much talent and so much talented midfielders coming through that list of how long his career actually lasts for, because he doesn't have the major thrills. He's just that workhorse. When does it take over that the young kids sort of push him out? And is he the type of player that can play a bit of defence?
Well, he did actually play a bit of defence as a bit of a sweeping role. Not for a lot, but he did play that sweeping role when he was kicked out of the midfield this year.
Would he actually take over Bernie Vince's role when Bernie retires? Because if he's already getting phased out of the midfield role now...
I think their defence is pretty set with that. You've got your Jetta, your Salems, your Hunt, your McDonald's, even though probably Tom's going to go forward next year and Lever in there. So it'll only be maybe rotating and Jordan Lewis. And Hibbard, sorry, yeah. So it might be a bit of a rotation with Jordan Lewis. But I never said he's going to be your top midfielder. He's going to be purely as that depth player to help you win that flag next year.
I'll tell you what you do with Jones. You trade him out for two. If you're like, say you're in your position, Jono, and you've got Nathan Jones, you throw him out for two dart throws. Like, if you can get Ben Keys another player like Ben Keys, that's the deal you do.
And that's the logic I was coming along with that. Just, you're looking for those young up and comer,
but I mean,
two for one type. Two players who are up and coming.
Like, you might not, like the Sam Pell Pepper owner might not give you that. And
that's me. So too bad.
No, but you know what I'm saying. Like, that's the player I'm saying. I'm looking at more an unproven player. Like, you know, Liam Duggan. I guess I'll say it. Like him and someone like that. Reece Matheson. You got to throw darts, man, when you're in that position where you are seriously rebuilding. Because if you're in a premiership tilt, you're not trading him.
No, you could be trading for him to win it, but if you're owning him in that premiership tilt, you wouldn't trade him, no.
I wouldn't have thought
That's where I'm looking at from my point, my team, where I am in that build, where I could throw him out there to someone like you who came second, and it could be that jigsaw getting you the premiership next year.
I can't imagine Nathan Jones carries the same value as Mark Murphy.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. Anyway, I agree. I'll put it that way. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. He's a great sell candidate.
Yep, agree.
And I suppose we might as well go with it. We've got our top five list that's becoming very popular on the social media. We're having lots of requests from our listeners. If you've got any other requests, please do send us to them on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. I thought you were just going to chug straight out of the bottle of that bottle of wine there, Steve. But this week we've got our top five channel changes. So those people on TV, as soon as they pop onto your TV, you just got to change the channel. Give it the ex, no matter who they are. Statesman.
Yeah, so now I will say this come about because Belvedere was changing the channels for me the other day, and it was slowly going through, and it just popped up to a movie. It was going through Foxtel movies. And there was Steven Seagal. So I just said, change, next. So I thought about it then going, well, how many people are there that you just see them on the screen and next? And I wanted to get away from, yes, we can all say someone from The Block or The Bachelorette or whatever the case may be. Sorry, you complaining about Belvedere?
No. Do you have a problem with Steven Seagal as a person or the movies he's in?
Both.
Correct.
Because, why do you ask that question?
Because there's a movie called Under Siege.
No, I've seen that. And I have watched that one and actually enjoyed it. That's the one where he's up in the bridge and then comes out of a cake and all that type of stuff.
See, the problem...
No.
Hang on. I'm going to not lay this down why Statesman has a problem with this. Because Statesman was in the Navy. He can pick out all the flaws.
Ah.
See, he's coming at this from a... Like, we watch movies and go, oh, that was stupid. That was Statesman. He's coming at this from a real-life point of view where he goes...
You can't do that on a boat.
You can't do that. Why would this guy be man on the brig? What's going on?
Now,
Jesus.
I will say that my top three are really easy... But there are movies of theirs that I've actually generally liked when I was a younger person, probably not so much enjoying taste in Pinot and lovely vegetables and salads and all those type of things. So Steven Seagal was number one. Jean-Claude Van Damme is number
Fuck
two.
You. How does this get through the vetting process to be on the show?
And I will say there was one movie early in his career, although it had the creepiest end scene in history, where he's going, "I love you, man," to a bearded man in a hospital. And I can't even think of what that is now, where they throw the dust in his eyes and all of a sudden he remembers his training and he can fight again even though he can't see.
Universal Soldier?
No, never watched that one. Bloodsport, thank you very much. I've probably seen Bloodsport, seriously, because we talk about Navy, that was on high rotation in the Navy. I probably saw Bloodsport about 50 times in my life. But if I see Jean-Claude Van Damme, even in an advert, it's getting flicked.
It's over.
Bloodsport is the greatest film ever made, no question.
The pot's done.
And the third one's going to upset a lot too, and it's Arnold. It's Arnie.
Oh, come on.
Now,
Predator,
of course,
the
of
best
course,
movie ever made.
No, it is not by a long, long way. Now, don't get me wrong, I liked Terminator and Terminator 2 when they come out, but after that, there's nothing of interest. Yeah, I watched Twins and had a good
True
laugh
Lies.
When Tony Martin, yeah, that wasn't bad. Tony Martin took the mickey out of him, me, a man, and his movies. but generally, all the other stuff, so yes, there's a couple of good ones, but all the other stuff, I see it, I'm flicking. I'm not interested. I'm looking for someone else. Number four is Taylor Lautner. Now, I don't think I've actually ever really seen a movie that he's in. I have no interest. He's the guy out of the spooky, the one the teenage girls all like, the books and then the movie.
Twilight?
Yes.
Never seen him.
He's in there.
Okay. See, I understand. Yeah. I haven't seen it.
And last but not least, and I seriously, I didn't think I'd seen the movie, but I think he's been in a couple of good ones where he's had lesser parts, is Vin Diesel. He's number five.
Yeah.
I can agree with Vin Diesel.
I'm not about Vin Diesel.
So there you go. There's my five.
Horrendous.
Congratulations,
absolutely
gentlemen.
Horrendous. I think there's a suspension coming your way next week.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's definitely suspended next week.
I'm willing to accept the suspension, you know, for being able to share my mind.
You know what the worst part is we're looking at him on Skype and I'm like, is that a shirt saying pink or is that a shirt saying Pink Floyd?
It's a blue shirt that says pink.
Oh, okay, well, that's passable then.
Dark Side of the Moon, come on.
Yeah, well, it's not Wish We Were Here, but whatever.
Please, Steve, get us back on track.
Well, I actually thought, when we discussed this topic, I thought it was channel change actors, so I assumed it was people on television.
Me too.
So I didn't have any actors like that.
All right. But that's all right. It's fair enough. What do you got?
So number five, I've got the cast of The Project.
Don't watch it, so don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Just it's horrendous. Number four, I've got Tracy Grimshaw.
Another program I don't watch.
If she was on the TV, I'd definitely change the channel. Number three, I've got Sam Newman.
Excellent.
I hate the fossil. If he was on TV...
I used to like him a long, long, long time ago when I liked Jean-Claude Van Damme in Bloodsport.
And when The Footy Show was good.
No, The Footy Show was never good. Anyway, if you name Sam Newman, all you do is drive around to poor areas and pick on handicapped people. So, good for you. Hope that makes you feel better. Number two, I've got Andrew O'Keefe.
Ah, he's my number four.
Yes.
Can't stand Andrew O'Keefe. Come on. Jesus Christ. And number one, if only you had died in... Was it a car crash or plane accident? But Grand Denyer. Oh,
you're taking my list, Steve.
Well, this speaks
they're,
to our...
They're a bit lower on my list, but I've got something
did
to
you,
go on that.
Did you just say that you wish someone died in a car crash?
He broke his back in a car accident racing at Bathurst maybe 10 years ago.
How is that sack of shit? I've already swore, so we've already got the explicit rating, so I'm... I hate Grant Denyer. You brought up... This is the funny thing about the list, Statesman, is you brought out the passion in me.
That's good.
That's what you... Good thing it's not the rage from avoiding the sunlight.
Well, I'm in sunlight all day, so that was kind of funny. I can't think of... I know Statesman went with movies. I can't think of really actors who I...
Wow.
Can't...
Number five for me is...
And
Tom Hanks.
And my recommendation of the list, I don't say that.
Tom Hanks,
I was running. I will say that my actual quote for the top five and suggestion was top five Switch channel actors.
Yeah, I didn't understand what the hell that meant. I'm like, is Switch a channel?
I just assume TV.
Is Switch a show like Netflix? I'm not hip.
Okay.
Is Switch a channel?
Not hip, obviously. Sorry.
Switch was a channel.
Can we get over this embarrassing list that Jono is going to put out? Tom Hanks, that's a disgrace. Academy
Award. Tom Hanks, number five.
How can he have Tom Hanks?
He's
it's ridiculous.
Vanilla ice cream.
What is wrong with
Tom
Hanks?
He has no range. I just can't stand
him. You say big? What the hell is wrong with you?
When I was a kid.
You obviously didn't vote yes.
Well, there you are. I did vote yes, actually.
Yes to what? Yes to what?
Actually, the wife voted yes for me.
Right. God bless her.
No, can't stand Tom Hanks. There's an opinion there. I'm not sitting on the fence. Can't stand the prick.
That is unpopular.
Andrew O'Keefe.
Wow.
Andrew O'Keefe at number four.
Wilson!
You haven't seen that one.
Grant Denyer, number three. I've seen the plane crash, and that's the best part of the movie. I just wish he didn't survive it.
There you go.
Grant Denyer, Tom Hanks, we are really sorry. Well, at least I am.
Number two, Zemplis.
Yeah.
I have to watch Saturday Night Football now, muted, because of his annoying commentating. And number one for me, Sam McClure. His face, like a beaten favourite. Just something about him rubs me the wrong way. I just can't get around him. Yeah, sure, he's a good reporter, but I don't know. His whole look, I just can't stand.
So I don't mind Sam McClure. I think he cops.
Really?
You go on social media and he just cops an absolute beating, but I don't think he's that bad, like, to be honest.
Look, he's a good reporter, but it's just something about him that rubs me the wrong way where I can't have him on my TV.
In fact, he's better looking and more successful than you times 10.
Younger, better looking. Yeah. Oh, quite easily. Yeah. Quite easily. Yeah. But that's my top five. And
it's pretty funny that we both
I'd
have
like to.
The only crossover was Andrew O'Keefe and Grant Denyer.
Yeah.
I'd like to apologise to the listeners. I was wrong. It's not 33% grumpier. It's 66% grumpier after two of our panellists actually suggested that they were quite happy if some celebrities died.
In a movie.
No. Look, if I could save, what's an animal that might die? Like a platypus? If I could save a platypus's life and Grant Denyer would die, I'd save that. I'd save that platypus, man. Oh, what, you don't like platypus?
Love
you
a platypus.
Jerks.
Oh,
that's
unbelievable.
20 cent piece, isn't it?
I can't believe
5
you
cent
hate platypus.
Piece.
What is wrong with you?
They don't have platypus in Tasmania. It's too cold for them.
Do they?
No, that's not
true. Do they have platypus in Tasmania?
Yeah, of course we do.
I don't know. They're not like they're walking down bloody Salamanca Place, is it? Are they nocturnal? They're pretty nocturnal, aren't they? They have red eyes.
They're water creatures.
Very, very early morning and dusk. That's correct.
All right, we're going to wrap this show up.
thankfully.
If you want to follow us on social media and throw us any Tom Hanks hate our way, you can do that on Twitter. Where we are at Statesman 33. That's it. At the Draft Doctors as well. Hit us up on the Facebook page and the Instagram. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.